الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين وباعث الأنبياء والمرسلين الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على خاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين الرسول المؤيد والنبي الممجد المصطفى الأمجد أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما على الإمام المنتظر وحجة الله الثاني عشر ابن العسكري المنتظر ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، Brothers and sisters, salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First of all, I would like to offer my sincere condolences to all of you on this hazin and sad occasion of the hulul of the month of Muharram, the month of the Ahlul Bayt, the month of grief of the Ahlul Bayt. And has always been the practice, whenever this month arrives, there are these commemoration ceremonies that are established, not only to understand the mission of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, but these also provide an opportunity to us to understand our religion, more specifically to you brothers and sisters who stay in the West, where without exaggeration, at every moment of your life, you find there's a clash. Clash of ideologies taking place, and you have to choose the one that is suitable to you, not only for this world but also for the hereafter. And it is in this context that we are gathered over here with the topic that we've selected. Normally the first lecture usually tends to be more of an icebreaker, where we thaw the ice between the speaker and the audience, and also serves as a platform where the introductory issues of the subsequent nights are presented, an introduction presented which facilitates an easier comprehension of the discussions of the remaining nights. But you do realize, and you must realize, that these series of lectures that you have either in the month of Muharram or in the nights preceding, the 10 nights preceding the Arba'een, or the nights in the month of Ramadan, these are the only opportunities that are there with us whereby we can dwell and delve upon a topic in great details. This is very unlike the normal majalis of the Khushali and Bufad that you hear, where you enter into the mosque, you enter into the masjid, the lecturer has 40 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour to deliver a message. An introduction takes place, the body comes, the final conclusion, you take the message and go home. You cannot delve in depth on whatever topic you select in that one lecture of an hour. These are the nights where you pick up topics, where you discuss in detail. And hence, our responsibility and your responsibility with respect to these nights differ. The difference is this, that when you come into these nights, these nights should not be considered as one-off nights that you come and take a message. You will not get the message in one lecture, because the discussion has been phased down in such a manner that you need to have your presence of mind in all the 10 or 11 lectures for a final conclusion to be drawn at the end of the 12th. And so your attention, your focus for all the nights, remembrance of issues that have been discussed in various nights is very important. Because as we move forward, we will keep shuffling back and forth. And if those issues are not there in your mind, you might not be able to get a proper and comprehensible picture of the entire discussion. This topic that we have selected for this series of this year's Muharram is basically the third in line of a series that had initiated several years ago. It had started off several years ago in Mombasa when I had picked up the first session of this entire sequence, and I had devoted an entire ashara to discuss the events that take place after a person's death. And basically this sequence of lectures, or this series of lectures, the third in line, this one, all discusses issues and events and occurrences and happenings that take place, or which happen with man, or which man is subjected to after his death, or nearing death. So the first ashara was focusing upon those events, those issues that face man, or man encounters from the time he sees the Malakul Maut, the angel of death, till the time he's put into the grave. Last year, with a break of 2 years, for certain reasons I could not pick up the topic, but I picked it up again last year. And last year's entire ashra was devoted for the life in Barzakh. That means from the time the body is placed into the grave and the events that take place up to the day of resurrection, up to the day of Qiyamah. So the entire ashra devoted into this phase, that he's put into the grave. As soon as he's put into the grave, the occurrence that take place, the happenings that take place, every issue that is faced by man was discussed in depth. It was left at a point, now resurrection needs to take place. And this is where I will pick up, but not from tonight, from tomorrow night. Because if you need to realize and understand how Qiyamah begins, you need to know how the phases have developed from the time person has died. And this is what we intend to do. Tonight would be a slight recapitulation of an event, of events that have taken place, major events, from the time a person dies till the time for resurrection comes, the time for the day of judgment comes, the time for Qiyamah comes. And from tomorrow night we will be focusing for this entire period on the occurrences of what happens on the day of judgment. Unfortunately, I had miscalculated, because I had intended after the Ashra in Dar es Salaam last year that this should be the Ashra, but I would finish the entire series of what happens Ma Ba'ad al-Mawt, after the death. And I thought that with this 10 or 12 lectures that would be there at my disposal, I would be able to finish the entire Day of Judgment, the events happening after Day of Judgment, till the time a person goes to heaven, goes to hell, the events that take place in heaven, that events that take place in hell. But unfortunately, as I started preparing my notes, I found it was getting too exaggerated. It was practically impossible for me to encompass all the events into 12 days. A sort of miscalculation on my part. As I started preparing my notes, I realized that it would not be possible for me to discuss the entire scenario of the Day of Judgment and heaven and hell and everything that takes place in these 12 nights. And this I realized very shortly as I started off with my preparations. And in the very beginning I made up my mind that the initial idea of mine to encompass and finish the series will not take place this year. It will have to be probably one another occasion. Not a guarantee next year, but it will need another one more ashra. But as far as we are concerned, this ashra will focus only on the Day of Judgment, except for tonight's lecture. But in order to understand the Day of Judgment and the horrors and the fright and the events and the occurrences that will take place on that day, and we have to know about it, because you just cannot ignore it and then assume it will not take place. That is a sign of foolishness. It is not practical, it is not possible for a youth like you, an intelligent person like you, to go out into the sun, close your eyes and say, there is no sun outside. Just by closing your eyes and becoming and causing yourself to become ignorant and neglectful or heedless of a reality that exists will not make that reality go away. Just by saying that, no, we are not concerned, it doesn't solve the problem, because it is going to come. Why? How? Details of that day? Tomorrow, inshallah. From tomorrow. But in order to understand tomorrow's lecture and all the other lectures, we need to go back and understand how a man moves from his journey from the time he's in this world till he reaches a point when he stands up before Lord, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accounting for every deed that he's done, getting his rewards either in the form of heaven or in the form of hell. And the stats of right from the time a person sees Malikul Maut or a person dies, and this is where we begin. Because this aspect of death that we discuss, or which we will discuss now, is something that is a reality that nobody doubts. Nobody has any skepticism towards. Day in and day out we see people dying before us. This is something that you cannot deny. But the emphasis that Quran lays on it is amazing. Three times in the Quran Allah has emphasized this. Surah Ali Imran, Surah Al-Anbiya, and Surah Al-Ankabut. Three times the same verse. You must have heard this verse several times over. Whenever a person dies, whenever a person becomes marhum or marhuma, whenever the namaz or mayyat is being recited, at any point of time you would have heard this definitely. But I'm sure you would not have heard most of them. That on three occasions Allah has categorically emphasized, man realize you're not here in this world forever. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Three occasions in these three surahs. Allah says, remember my servants. You're not going to be in this world forever. You have to come back to us. If you have to come back to us, make preparations for it. Because your coming back is not going to be an easy one. You have a free time in this world. You come back to us, then it is our time. And it is this death which is what we tend to fear. But we'll just come to that in a minute. This death that we talk about so much has a very different ideology when you refer to the Masumeen alayhim as-salam. Because when we look at death, we look at it as something very dangerous, very drastic. It has to be, and we will discuss this. But the Imams, the Masumeen, have got a very different perspective, have a very different ideology towards it. So you find that on the day of Ashura, our Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when he's talking to the people on the day of Ashura, his companions, they're about to go for battle, and he's trying to raise their spirits and show them, you who have been supporting me for so much, you do you know your position? And he says, Ya Bani al-Kiram, فَمَا الْمَوْتُ إِلَّا قَنْتَرَةٌ تَعَبُرُ بِكُمْ عَنِ الْبُؤُوسِ وَالْضَرَّاءِ إِلَى الْجِنَانِ الْوَاسِعَ وَالنَّعِيمِ الدَّائِمَ. Saying, Bani al-Kiram, O children of noble blood, don't worry this death that is going to come before you. 72 people, 30,000 forces of Yazid. Don't worry. Because this mouth, this death is nothing except a bridge. Except a bridge that will take you from bu'usi wa dharra, the adversities, the calamities, the problems, the troubles, the trials of this world, ilal jinanin wasa'a, to the expanses of the gardens of heaven. Wa na'im da'ima, and what will you get in those gardens? You will get bounties that are da'ima, eternal bounties. Don't worry. All that you have to do is cross this bridge, which is called death. This is one perspective of the Imams. But when it comes to normal people like you and me, the word death, maut, is regarded as a taboo. Try that at home. You talk to your mother that I hope I don't die tonight. What are you talking about death? Because the word talking about death instills a kind of fright within man. Tends to get frightened. Tends to instill a fear within man. A taboo. Don't talk about death. Talk about life. Don't talk about death. Because you fear death. You would rather talk about life. Close your eyes towards death. Harun al-Rashid, the father of Mamun Rashid, both father and son, killers of and the murderers of the seventh Imam and the eighth Imam, Imam Musa al-Kadhim and Imam Ar-Rida alayhim as-salam, salawatullah. Harun Rashid once has a dream. In his dream he dreams that all his teeth have fallen down except one. All of his teeth have fallen down except one. So he makes an announcement, oh interpreters of the dream, who would come and interpret this dream for me? Because I've witnessed that I've dropped all my teeth except one. So two people came forward. One of them said, experts in the field of the science of interpretation of dreams, they're saying, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Khalifat al-Muslimin, I will tell you, the first one says. They're saying, yes, tell me, what is the meaning of this dream?
He says this dream means that, O Harun, you will die the last amongst your family. First all your family members will die and then you will die. As soon as he hears this, he flies into a fit of rage. You dare talk about death to me, take him and whip him 100 times. 100 lashes. Now, the other person was a smart man. You learn from the mistakes of the others. He said, Baba, the interpretation was correct. He also knew what that person was whipped, had interpreted it correctly. But he was a smart person. He says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I will tell you what is the true meaning of a dream. It means that you will live the longest amongst your family members. Amongst all the members of the family, the lifespan that they will have, you will have the longest lifespan. Ah, your interpretation is correct. Give him 1,000 dirhams. You go to understand the explanation of both. Both refer to the same thing. But the first person talked about death, brought about the fury of Harun upon him. The second person talked about and interpreted the dream in the term of life, took a reward and went away. This is exactly the reality. We fear death. And we've got haq to fear death. We, normal people. Because the person comes to the third imam. Comes to the second imam. Imam Hassan ibn Ali alayhi salam. Ya ibn Rasulullah, whenever I hear about death, I'm frightened. I get scared. I'm overcome with fright. Why is it so? Why do I fear death? Imam gives him a very beautiful criteria. I will not talk about you, I will talk about myself. I look at it, so true. Imam says, my friend, you've all the reason to fear death. لِأَنَّكُمْ أَخْرَبْتُمْ آخِرَتَكُمْ وَعَمَّرْتُمْ دُنْيَاكُمْ فَتَكْرَهُونَ النَّخْلَ مِنَ الْعُمْرَةِ إِلَى الْخَرَابِ مِنَ الْعُمْرَانِ إِلَى الْخَرَابِ. He's saying, my friend, you have spoiled your akhirat, you know it. You have established this dunya. You have put your akhirat into ruins by your deeds and your amal. At the same time, you have cultivated and habitated your dunya with all the glory and the grandeur of this material world. And you know a time will come when you'll have to move from this glory into the ruins of the akhirah. You're scared. You know your deeds. You know your akhirah is on the downturn. You know you've left nothing for yourself over there. All that you have done is for this world. Wife, children, fame, money. Everything is for this world. Nothing for the hereafter. So you know that place is in ruins. You've inhabited this place. You have cultivated this place. You have given glory to this world. And you know a time will come where you'll have to leave this place and go to the ruins of the akhirah. You don't like it. You don't like to go to ruins, leaving the place that you have established. And this is what exactly is the reason. We fear death because of this. And how do it happen? When do you know? Listen to this tradition. It is said when a person dies, when Malakul Maut comes, and we will talk about Malakul Maut. When a person dies, three things manifest themselves before him. Embodiment of deeds. One of the principles of Islam is that after death, whatever actions that you do will take a form and come before you. Tradition says, this tradition, as soon as a person dies, when a person is either dying or on the verge of dying, three things manifest himself before him. One, his wealth. Second, his family, his wife and children. And third, his a'mal. All three surround him. When he sees the situation which you will hear in another 10 minutes from now, he turns to his wealth and says, look, I am dying now. And I can see things which I had not anticipated. I had heard, but I chose not to believe. I had heard, but I chose to ignore. I had heard, but I did not give importance to. I am seeing those things now taking care of me. I see those things grasping me. Before I go further, these discussions might get very vivid and might get very graphic. You have those disclaimers that come. What you're going to view is going to be very graphic. Viewer discretion is advised. Your audience discretion is advised. This is just a sample of what would come in this remaining lectures. So if by mistake you've come over here, from tomorrow you've got time not to come over here. You've got the opportunity. But this is how it's going to work. And this is how it's going to go. Three things will manifest. He will turn to his wealth and say, I see things that are going to take hold of me. and I have no control over them. I have no power over them. I am powerless to protect myself. You, my wealth, the whole life I have spent for you. The whole life I have worked for you. The whole life I have turned aside the rulings of God so that I could procure you. How much are you going to help me? Help me. How are you going to assist me? Tradition says that wealth will turn to that man and say, yes, I'm very grateful to you for helping me. I'm very grateful to you for being so supportive of me. I will help you. How will you help me? I will help you by giving you the kafan that you require. And what else? He's saying, no, nothing else. That's where my power ends. That's where my domain ends. I cannot cross that realm that is there. I can only give to you now at this point of time from what you have collected of me, one kafan. Mayus, hopeless, he turns to his children. He turns to his wife. Oh my wife, oh my children, the whole life of mine revolved around you. You were the apple of my eyes. I turned my mother and father aside because of you. I turned the rulings of God aside because of you. You wanted gifts, you wanted vacations, you wanted this, you wanted that. I flouted the rulings of God without ignoring the halal and the haram just so that you would be happy. I need your help now. They will say, yes, we will help you, my father, my husband. How will you help me? We will take you, carry you to the graveyard. We will help in digging the grave. We will help in putting you into the grave. We will help in putting the mud upon your face. Allah, that is helping. Think that's what we can do, nothing more than that. The whole life I spent for you. Sorry, this is what I can do. The second form will say, tradition I'm reciting. He will then turn to the last one, his deeds. He's saying, I know I've not been very focused towards you. I know I have not been considering towards you. Throughout my whole life, the amal were never my priority. But now, how can you help me? Tradition says that amal will turn to him and says, my friend, don't worry. I will be with you. From the time they pick you and take you to the grave. From the time they put you into the grave. From the time they put mud upon your face. From the time you are lowered into the grave. I will be with you into the grave. I will be with you right into the barzakh. I will be with you on the day of judgment. I will be with you when you are talking to your Lord. I will be with you when you enter paradise or hell. But that person, that form is what he doesn't want. He wants that form to go away because he doesn't have those deeds that qualify to save him. Because he's always been ignorant of this deeds and a'mal. The one that he doesn't want says, you like it or not, I'm going to stay with you. Whatever that deed is, if it is good, this man has no option except to have him as a partner and face the consequences of his a'mal. This is why we fear death. But this is just the first step. Because in this entire structure of a person's movement, every step that you take is more severe than the previous step that you've taken. Every step is more dangerous. Because now when you're dying, you see Malakul Maut. That's another big problem. The angel of death. I'm rushing fast. Huh? I'm encapsulating 2 months, 2 Ashras lecture in tonight's lecture. I have to rush fast. Malakul Maut comes. That very sight of Malakul Maut for a person who's a sinner is a punishment and adab. Who says this? Me? No. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ulul Azm Paygambar. The prophet of Ulul Azm. The great prophet. The second in rank amongst the prophets of the holy prophet. Shaykhul Anbiya. Hazrat Ibrahim. Once Malakul Maut comes to him, the angel of death. Hadrat Ibrahim asked him, Ya Malakul Maut, how do you present yourself in the form, how do you come before a sinner when you want to seize his soul? A person who's sinning, a person who's evil. Since Ya Nabi Allah, do not ask. Saying, I insist. Saying, I request you, do not ask. You will not be able to bear it. Saying, Ya Malakul Maut, I request you. Saying, Hiya, turn your face away. Hadrat Ibrahim turns his face. Malakul Maut undergoes a transformation. As soon as Hazrat Ibrahim turns again to have a look at him, he sees an entity, huge, gigantic, horrible, fire spewing from his eyes, hair like snakes, odor so bad, just the very sight of that person that he saw which he thought to be Malakul Maut, in the form that Malakul Maut comes to take the ruh and the qabd of the soul of the sinners, Hadrat Ibrahim falls down in a faint. In a faint? You're not talking about you and me. We are talking about a Prophet of God, second only in rank to the Holy Prophet, Shaykhul Anbiya, that Prophet who has been given the Imamat by God. This Prophet, when he looks at Malakul Maut, falls down in a faint. When he recovers, he sees Malakul Maut in the same form, normal form. Tradition says, he turns to Malakul Maut and says, Ya Malakul Maut, forget all the punishment that would be there for a man. This very sight is punishment enough for a sinner to bear. But then this is just the beginning. Because when Malakul Maut comes, he's not going to come with a pizza in hand to give you. He's coming to seize your soul from your body. Because you've got to return back to your Lord. And that's why you said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When he comes, there's a big issue. Because this, when he comes and when he's seizing the soul, Islam terms it, the Quran terms it as Sakaratul Maut. Sakara comes from the word Sukra. Sukr means intoxication. That's why alcohol is in Arabic language is referred to as khamr, and the intoxication that it brings is called sukr. Sukr means intoxication. When a person's soul is being seized, it is called sakaratul maut, means intoxication of death. What intoxication? The intoxication means that the pain of death is so severe that person loses all sense of time, place and being over there. He is in a state of intoxication because of the intense pain. A pain so excruciatingly immense that Imam Ali in Nahjul Balagha says, فَغَيْرُ مَوْسُوفٍ بِمَا نُزَّلَ بِهِ. You cannot describe in words what it goes through, what that person is going through when the soul is coming out. Sakaratul maut, intoxication of death. These are just the stages. We have to reach Qiyamah right now. But this pain is so much. The intensity is so much. At the time of Bani Israel, the kings of Bani Israel had children. Amongst these children, there's a tradition from a Ma'soom, sixth Imam. Amongst these children, there were a few of them that were very religious. So they said, we will... let us go and travel into the earth and see the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the recommendations of Islam. You pick up the Quran. Quran says numerous occasions, Siru fil ard, fanzuru kayfa kana aqibat al mukaththibin. Look around and see what we have done to those who have been opposing us, who have been disobeying us, who have sought to stand in opposition to us. Go and see what we've done. So let us go and see. As they are moving, they come to a graveyard. 4, 5, 6 people, they're going, very pious, muttaqi, God fearing, religious. As they're going to the graveyard, they see a grave almost obliterated, very old grave, hardly the inscriptions could be seen, leveled onto the ground. While they were looking at it, suddenly one of them says, why don't we pray to God so that this person, the inhabitant of this grave, comes out so that we can ask him what he underwent at the time of death. So all of them raised their hands. Say, Ya Allah, please, we would like to have a talk with him. Not always, sometimes. Allah casts aside the curtains of ghaib from a person's eyes and shows him the reality. That look, what my Prophet said, what my Prophets have said, what the Imam is saying is true, not stories. This was one of the instances. The curtains of ghaib move aside. All of a sudden they see that grave shaking, splits apart. From within rises a man, old, white beard, white hair, white mustache, absolute fright visible on his face, comes looking around. Yes, what is it? What do you want? The reason for the fright I will tell you tomorrow, inshallah. Only that portion of the hadith that is pertinent to this discussion. He's saying, what do you want? He's saying, I want to know, these people said, we want to know. You died. What was your experience of death? How severe did you find it? You see, you're asking me about death? You're asking me about the pain of death? I cannot tell you. Imam says, غَيْرُ مَوْسُوفًا, you cannot describe. He said, I cannot tell you. But I will tell you one thing. I will not describe the pain for you, but I will tell you one thing. If you can fathom, fathom. If you can understand, understand. If you can comprehend, comprehend. I cannot speak and describe it out. But I will tell you this much. I died 99 years ago. Malakul Maut came. The angel of death came to me 99 years ago. He seized my soul 99 years ago. I will not tell you the pain that I went through. But I will tell you this. That after 99 years of my death, that pain of death is still within my body. 99 years have passed. The pain of the soul coming out of my body has not gone through my body. Sakaratul Maut, the intoxication of death. And this is what exactly happens. Because this ruh has got such intimate interaction and love with this body that when it is coming out, and after it has come out, it maintains a certain bond, certain love with the body. And hence it is said in the traditions that when a person dies, don't try to hold him. Don't try to hug him. Because as you hold him, the ruh that is there is feeling the pain. Because it has been severed from a body that was its house for 20, 30, 40, 60, 70 years. Any movement is moved aside. Tradition says, when the person giving the ghusl is turning the body over, the ruh is weeping. And he's saying, take care of this body. Because when Malakul Maut came to pull me out from this body, I came out from every vein and every nerve that was there in my body. And in the process, all of these nerves and veins and arteries ruptured. This body of mine is weak and it is feeling the pain, as a result of which I am feeling the pain. And the tradition says that if the person who is doing the ghusl could hear the crying and the shrieking of pain of the soul when the body is being given ghusl, this person for the rest of his life will never give ghusl to this person, any person ever again. If he were to hear the shouting of the soul in pain, he would stop giving ghusl to anybody. Reality is hidden from us. Doesn't mean hidden from us, that means that they don't exist. We need to find out, and this is what Muharram is for. Getting entangled into the material pleasures of the world doesn't take away the akhirat from us. It is there waiting to come. It is there waiting to meet us. You like it or not. I like it or not, I have to meet it. I understand it and change, or I choose to remain ignorant and bear the consequences. But this is just the Sakaratul Maut. After death is another instant when you go to Barzakh. Remember this. In this entire journey, every step taken is worse and more severe than the previous step. Every step taken is worse than the previous one. You keep going forward, the intensity increases. You keep going forward, the troubles increase. Because now, this is the point of time when man has no option. In this world, yes, you like to do it, you do it. You don't like to do it, don't do it. You don't like prayers, don't pray. God will never interfere. You want to listen to music, God says no, I listen. God will not interfere. You don't like to fast because your friends won't go to McDonald's, I go to McDonald's. God will not interfere. But the time will come when it will be His domain. At that time there is no excuse for you and me. At that time there is no power for you and me. At that time there is no say for you and me. It will be Lillah al-Wahid al-Qahhar. The domain where He's got full control. That is what is reflected in Alhamd. Maliki Yawm al-Din. The master of the day of judgment. Nobody even speaks if He doesn't allow you. We will see this now. Qiyamah we are talking about now. But the moment you enter into Barzakh, it's another different world altogether. Something that you don't perceive, something you cannot imagine. You only hear and try to understand by hearing. You cannot see, you cannot experience. How are you going to tell a child in the womb of the mother, this biryani is very beautiful, Bana. This chicken is very beautiful. These chips are very tasty and delicate. And it's a very beautiful delicacy. He will, if the child could hear, he would hear. He would never understand. We hear all these things, we will never understand till we go there. By the time it's too late, na, to change. Now is the time to change. But then we're still talking about it. Once you enter into the grave, your barzakh starts. Tradition says that piece of earth that you see down, that hole that you see, can be either one of these. There's two options. You have to select which one. One of the two. It can either be hufratum min hufarin nar, the pits from the pits of hell. That is one option. Or rawdatum min riyadul jannah, can be one of the gardens of the gardens of paradise. No other option. There is no third way out. It has to be either one of these two. Either rawdatum min riyadul jannah, one of the gardens from the gardens of paradise. Or hufratum min hufarin nar, it has to be one of the pits of hell. And this is what happens down there. Because the moment you enter into the grave, you have those two friends coming, Munkar and Nakir. In all the du'as it is there. Questioning and answering is there. The questioning and answering of the Day of Judgment is still to remain. We will discuss that in detail. This is a preliminary to that, a forerunner to that, a precursor to that. They will come and ask you questions. This questioning into the grave by Munkar and Nakir is one of the essentials of Islam. One of the musallimat of our religion, to such an extent that our sixth imam has said, "Man ankara thalath falaysa minna." Three things. If a person rejects, does not believe, does not have faith in, laysa minna, he is not from us. He is not our Shia. One of them is al musa'alatu fil qabr, the questioning in the grave. Somebody rejects this, what nonsense. Who will come into the grave and question? Imam Sadiq is telling to get out of Shiaism. He's not amongst us. Laysa minna. They come over there, ask questions. Again, I'm not going into the details. This is not the time for details. I have to give you this recap if I have to start my lectures from tomorrow night. Otherwise, you will not realize where we are starting. What a person has gone through to reach this stage, what he will be expecting and experiencing from there on. So when you enter the grave, or when I enter the grave, the questioning starts. And they're not going to be like a mother and a father. Huh? They've got a job to do. They are under instructions. They're going to follow it to the letter. They're not concerned, you're frightened, you're scared, you're crying or what. They've got a job to do, they will do it. And how? Tradition says if the person is a good person, he answers the questions. Again, we are not going into the details of the questioning. You can refer it in the majalis last year. But the questioning that takes place, if the person is a pious person, if the person is a righteous person, if the person is a good person, automatically that grave, which is 6 feet by 4 feet, expands. Right up to the time the eyes can see, the grave expands. Don't ask me how, huh? Nobody's, I've not gone there and come back to see. These are traditions, we've got to believe. Surah Baqarah says, Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. One of the signs of a muttaqi, he believes in ghaib. The grave expands. Tradition says from the side of his head that he's lying down, a door is open into paradise. The sweet fragrance, the beautiful wind, the beautiful scenery of paradise then becomes visible to him. His grave expands. Illumination is put into the grave. Munkar and Nakir tell him, sleep till the Day of Judgment. You have done well in this world. Time for you to reap rewards will come. Right now relax, enjoy yourself. But if that person is somebody who is not a pious person, that person is somebody who has not been religious in this world, that person is somebody who has been throwing the rulings of God left, right and center. Tradition says when Malakul Maut goes and the person dies, puts into the grave, Munkar and Nakir come. Eyes are flashing like lightning because they've been given the indication of this man. Their entire demeanor is enough to kill a person 1,000 times over. They come eyes flashing. Start asking questions. This person had never done anything in this world that he would be able to answer. As soon as he fails in the test in the grave, tradition says they strike him with a mace of iron 3 times. and at each blow that falls upon his head, his entire grave is filled up with fire. And the fire of such extent that you cannot compare to the fire of this world. Tradition says every stroke of Munkar and Nakir that fall upon the head of this person is so severe, is so intense, that tradition says if one of these blows were to fall upon the mountains around Makkah, all of the mountains will crumble into dust because of the force and the venom and the intensity of the blow. Three blows are struck upon him. The entire grave is filled up with fire. At the same time, 99 snakes are pushed into his grave, each of them slithering upon his body, each of them beating his body, stinging his body, breaking his bones. All of this continues up to the day of resurrection. The venom of each, according to the tradition, is so intense that even one drop of it were to fall onto the surface of the earth. You remember, this entire sequence is happening below the earth. This entire sequence is happening in the ghaib, oblivious from the sight of the people, hidden from the sight of the people. But within the grave, when this is happening, tradition says if one of these serpents were to come out onto the surface and put one of its venom onto the ground, that venom is so severe and intense that on the place where it is going, the venom is put in, for that entire region up to the day of judgment, no plant and vegetation would flow. 490, up to the time the day of judgment comes, up to the time God orders the day of judgment and resurrection, this person is experiencing this punishment in the grave. It's not for anything, huh? That Imam Ali al-Islam in Dua Kumail says, that it's easier for me to bear the punishment, bear the trials and calamities of this world, but not that of the Akhirah. Sabilum muddatu. Long distance the punishment goes on. Long period the punishment goes on. Shadeed. I would rather bear the trials of this world, not that of the Akhirah. My body is too weak. That's why he says, Irham Rikkat Jildi wa Dikkat Azami. Allah have mercy on this flesh of mine. It's too weak to bear your punishment. Allah have mercy on this weak bones of mine. It's too brittle to bear your punishment. Something is, even if it falls upon the mountains, your punishment, if they fall on the heavens and the earth, they cannot bear it. This Ali will bear it. If Ali says it, what about you and me, my friends? But then this is still barzakh. After this punishment that is taking place, you see, move further, more punishments come. If a person is a sinner, so after this death, you've got the fisharul qabr, the squeezing of the grave. You've got a squeezing of the grave coming up. One of the essentials of religion, tradition says every person who goes into the earth is subjected to the squeezing of the grave. Means what? Means the two sides of the grave come together. Squeeze this person. However, tradition says if a person is righteous, pious, God-fearing, this squeezing of the grave will be so comfortable, it will be as if a person is hugging and doing mu'anaqa with his brother. Eid, just passed, correct? Eid is just passed. When you're doing hugging, what happens? Two brothers, when they hug, isn't it nice? You feel nice. Seeing when the squeezing of the grave, if a person is righteous, this is how it happens. But the moment the person is a sinner, and we will discuss it on the day of judgment, after death rather, everything becomes intelligent. We will discuss it tomorrow. If the person is a sinner, tradition says the squeezing is so intense. The words of the tradition, words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, حَتَّى تَلْتَقِيَ أَضْلَاعَهُ. The movement of the grave is so intense that two ends of the wall of the grave meet each other. حَتَّى تَلْتَقِيَ أَضْلَاعُهُ. To such an extent that the ribs of man will start merging into each other and become merged into each other when the two walls of the grave meet. Essentials of religion, do not deny it, at your peril. These are realities with traditions, with references, with book, any tradition quoted in these 12 nights. With references I can provide you. Nothing from the pockets. These are realities. You have to understand. I have to understand. And this is where we stop. Because this is the time And this is the place where we reach. We are not going into this into detailed discussion about what is taking place in the grave. Let's finish. We want to move further. But we have to realize what this man has endured. What ordeal has he gone through to understand and to feel and reach this place. Because from now on is the time to get up. The day of judgment. Far superior in intensity. Far superior in pressure and pain and anxiety and troubles than whatever this man has gone through. And that's why if you pick up the Quran, majority of the time that Quran is talked about is not about death. Huh? It's not about the grave. Huh? It's not about Munkar and Nakira. It's talking about the Qiyamah. Ittaqu yawman, ittaqu yawm al-qiyamah. Fear the day of judgment. Because that is the way, that is the time when the power of God will manifest itself. In the world you did whatever you want, higher, not a problem. Here I'm going to talk, you're going to listen. Here I'm going to dictate, you're going to do. Here I'm going to order, you're going to be the ordered one. I left you in this world, I'm not going to leave you now. If you have done good, I will give you a recompense. I will compensate you, I will award you the likes of which your eyes, your minds, your thoughts have never imagined. Because I'm Rahman, I'm Rahim. But at the same time, if you flouted my rules in this world, I'm also Qahhar and Jabbar. I will manifest itself, myself, in any of my names according to the person I'm standing. A righteous person, Rahman and Rahim. And Ra'uf. A sinning person, Qahhar and Jabbar. And it is for this reason that we find the Masumin knew about it, huh? Because they were the ones, Khazainu ilmillah, they are the treasure houses of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason that when Yazid ordered Walid in Medina, call Hussein and take his bay'ah, take his pledge of allegiance, ask him to pledge and do bay'ah at my hands that Yazid is my lord. Walid calls Hussein. Hussein, come here. When Imam Hussein goes to Yazid, to Walid, he's saying, Yazid has given me an order, you have to pledge allegiance. Hussein says, I cannot do that. Hussein doing bayat of Yazid, impossible. Why? Because he knew what was coming up to the day of judgment. Nah. He knew the rulings of God. Nah. He comes back home. He says, Zainab, Medina is no longer the place for us to stay. We have to leave. Saying, what happened? I just come from Walid's palace and he's insisting that I should do bay'at at the hands of Yazid. You know Zainab, I cannot do that. How can Hussein do the bay'at of Yazid? Please start making preparations for our journey. Where are we going, brother? Into Makkah. Zainab starts the preparations for the journey. Where does Hussein go? Hussein goes to the grave of the Holy Prophet. Tradition says when he goes to the grave of the Holy Prophet, he falls onto the grave and begins to weep. He begins to weep to such an extent that tradition says, weeping, weeping, he goes to sleep. As he goes to sleep in his dreams, he sees the grave splitting, the Prophet coming out. As soon as he sees the Prophet, he cries, oh grandfather, do you see what this Ummah is doing? Do you see what they're forcing me to do? Is there no way that you can bring me to yourself and save me from all this humiliation? The Prophet says, if I were to call you to me, then who would go to Karbala, Hussein? Who would save my religion? When this talk came, Hussein keeps quiet. The eyes open up. Do you realize when Hussein is telling Zainab, Zainab, we have to leave Medina means what? It's not just leaving Medina that is breaking Hussein's heart, huh? It means leaving Medina means leaving the Holy Prophet. Leaving Medina means leaving the brother Imam Hassan. Leaving Medina means leaving his mother Fatima Zahra. After the grave of the Holy Prophet, he does Khuda Hafiz to the grave of Hassan. And tradition says from there he goes to the grave of Bibi Fatima. As he reaches there, son standing before the grave of the mother, the heart breaks down, he begins to cry. He says, oh mother, this Hussein has come for his final salam. As-salamu alayki ya ummah. Oh mother, salam of Hussein upon you. After crying for some time, as he gets up to go, tradition, the words of tradition says, as he's about to go, a reply comes from the grave, wa alayka salam ya bunayya. Oh my son, wa alayka salam. But you are going and leaving me. But don't worry, this mother of yours is not going to leave you. She is going to be there with your caravan wherever you go. And it is for this reason that when we refer to the maqatil, we find on numerous occasions, the crying of a lady was heard. The crying of lady was heard. At times people heard a lady crying on the night of Ashura, "Oh my Hussein!" At times they heard the crying of Fatima on the road from Karbala to Kufa and Sham, "Oh my Sakina!" At times they heard a lady crying in the prison of Sham, "Oh my Sajjad!" Fatima going with this caravan wherever this caravan was going. But now when Hussein is about to go, when Hussein was leaving, he said, "This place is not the place for Hussein anymore. We have to leave from here." This was what Hussein had said when he was leaving. After this caravan returns, after the incident of Karbala, these same words are almost repeated by Hussein's sister Umme Kulthum. Because when this entire entourage returns from Sham, as they are nearing Medina, Umme Kulthum begins to recite a nawha, "Ya Medina ta jaddana la taqbalina, O the Medina of my holy prophet, do not accept our coming. When we went, we had the males to support us. We had little infants in our arms. Now that we have come, the males have all gone. The children are no longer in our arms. Some of them in Karbala, some of them in Sham." But at that time, when Hussein was leaving Medina, it was he who had gone to the grave of the Prophet to complain, "Oh grandfather, look what this Ummah is doing to me." Now when this entire caravan comes back to Medina after the event of Karbala, it is now the turn of Zainab to go to the Holy Prophet's grave. She goes and she weeps, "Ya Rasulullah, oh my grandfather, you know what has happened. I will tell you what has happened. Had it not been for this Namahram doing ziyarah of your qabr, I would have shown you all the bruises of the beatings that we got and the marks of the ropes that tied our hands. Oh Prophet, your sajjad from Kufa to Sham, Karbala to Kufa, tied in fetters and legs and chains." وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبِ يَنْقَلِبُونَ مَاتِمْ حُسَيْنَ